This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
This is the second Sunday in Lent. We've had a few teaching times where we've used the phrase, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Has everyone heard that? Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Well, that's true. There are other sayings that are a lot like it. There's nothing ventured, nothing gained. And then there's the motto of the British Special Operations Unit, the Special Air Service, where they say, who dares, wins. About 10 years ago, there was a youth program aimed at getting teenagers to boldly take a stand for their faith in the public arena, and it was called Dare to Be a Daniel. He dared to stand up against the pagan powers in Babylon. There's truth in all of these sayings because life itself has its risks, right? But sometimes we have to know that to accomplish something significant, to accomplish something great, we have to take a step of faith. We may have to take a deep breath, focus on the prize, and take that step of faith to achieve something meaningful and lasting and enduring and great. Amen? The history of the entire world was positively impacted forever by one man who actually had the courage to take that leap of faith, to step out of his comfort zone and to walk a walk of faith with the Lord. And we find that story in our Old Testament reading for today. It's Genesis 12, 1 through 8. Again, it's Genesis 12, 1 through 8. Please follow along as I read this passage. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. This teaching today is going to focus on another aspect of having a breakthrough. Remember, our series is Lent, the season of breakthroughs. So many of us are looking for God and we need to hear God's voice. Amen. We just love it if God would just audibly speak to us and say, go here and do this. We need to have a sense of peaceful confidence that the Lord is going to bring us to where He wants us to be. This is what we will see in Genesis 12, 1 through 8. So let's look at verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. In Genesis 12, 1 through 8, God told Abram, who would, of course, be later named Abraham, to gather his wife and immediate family members, pack all of his belongings, and go to a country that God would show him. At first, the Lord simply said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. The phrase father's house is important because in Genesis 11, verses 27 through 32, it says, this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, as you look at the map, you can see that Ur is down here, and Haran is up here in what would today be barely inside present-day Turkish territory. So that was quite a hike, as it were. But he went from Ur to Haran. But Terah stayed in Haran. Here's the problem with that. Haran was a lot like Ur. Haran was dedicated to idol worship and mired in paganism, just as Ur was in the land of the Chaldeans. This is where Terah died. He got to a new place, but it was a lot like home. I want everybody to get this. This is a spiritual analogy. So many of us start a spiritual journey. We sense God's itch to go do something great and to move out and do all kinds of great things, to get out of our old way of life, a life that leads to death. But sometimes we only go so far and we get comfortable with a place or a life situation if it turns out to be a lot like what we were used to before. It's comfortable. And that's exactly what happened to Terah, because he ended up going to a place that was a lot like where he left. And guess what? He stayed there and he died there. He didn't make the journey completely. He stopped halfway. He quit and he found a place that was familiar, and that's where he died. He made really no progress. However, the Lord had a better plan for Abram. So he called Abram and more or less said, "Abram, this place is not where I want you to be. It's too much like your old life. I want something better for you than that, Abram. So get your wife, pack your bags, get ready to roll. And you can bring your nephew Lot with you if you want to." Now, here's a good question. Do you think Abram really understood what was involved with the call? It's very doubtful. So the best answer to the question is at least a qualified no. But here's an interesting thing. To understand how radical this situation was for Abram, let's remember his background. He's from the city of Ur, where the Chaldeans were. From what we know about Chaldea, the people were rough, brutal, and they were heavily engaged in sorcery. They did black magic. They did spell cast, and they were literally occultists religion-wise. There are several places in Scripture, by the way, where the name of the Chaldean is used almost interchangeably with demons. From the exhaustive dictionary of Bible names, it defines Chaldeans like this: Chaldeans, colon, as it were, demons. The root is to lay waste or to destroy. It also means wanderers. Hitchcock's Bible Dictionary, that's available through BibleHub.com, says the same thing: Chaldea as demons or robbers. In Habakkuk 1:6, the Lord told the prophet Habakkuk, "For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs." See, they're raiders, they're robbers, they're wanderers. Now, demons may not necessarily want to own you, they just want to control you. That may not seem like there's a whole lot of difference between those two conditions. But look at what Jesus says about demons in Matthew 12:43-45. Remember the definitions: Chaldeans, as it were, demons. "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none." The demon is looking for a place, and he's wandering. So we continue. Then he says, the demon, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. But it's empty. Then he goes and takes with him seven more other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and this last state of the man is worse than the first. So you see the comparison here between the Chaldeans, who were called robbers, wanderers, and also compared with demons, and then the demon himself who's wandering around looking for a place to possess or to control or to occupy. This is the environment filled with that kind of spirit that Abram left. Demonic. It's also necessary to note that the Chaldeans that were left after Babylon's invasion of the region maintained their occult-like practices. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar had those really unpleasant dreams? Daniel 2:2 says, "Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell him his dreams." That's a fairly hefty rogues gallery, would you say? But that's who Nebuchadnezzar was seeking to get advice. He was going to these people who were engaged in sorcery and magic. That's who the Chaldeans were. And that, again, is where Abram left. So what do you think Abram thought one day when he heard the Lord call his name? Up to this time, Abram had likely worshipped idols of stone. Haran was in the location of the temple of the god Sin, which ironically is spelled like sin. Another stone idol. This goes along with what David proclaimed in 1 Chronicles, all the gods of the peoples are idols. Well, here's the difference. This god spoke to him. This god could actually talk. This god could actually interact with you. You get the difference here. Rather than a rogue, controlling, domineering spirit like a demon, or rather than a rock or a carved stick, this God spoke to Abram. We need to be ready to hear God speak if we're in a place we don't need to be. We need to be ready to hear God if He wants to speak to us. Remember, He called Abram by name, and we need to be ready to listen when He speaks. And see, don't worry about whether or not we think we really know God as deeply as we ought to. Abram probably didn't know God a whole lot at that time. Maybe not at all. But here's the difference. God, in His power, spoke to Abram and said, "Abram, I got something I want you to do. Your father had the right idea, but he quit halfway." How many times have we been so close to an objective that we wanted to achieve, but we quit right before we were ready to have the breakthrough? That's what happened with Terah. He got to another place. He achieved the first installment of this project. He went from Ur of the Chaldeans, and then he went to Haran, but there he stopped, and there he died, accomplishing nothing because he quit before the task was done. So God says, "I got a mission for you, Abram. Finish the job. Follow me. Go where I tell you to go." Along the way, you will get to know God a lot better. If you start a walk of faith, you will get to know God a lot better. Because you will be taken some places you do not know. You will be put in situations you don't like. Trust me on that. You will be placed in places where you will feel almost abandoned. You will feel like you're all alone sometimes, but God is right there with you. He is the one who called you. He will not send you to a place where He is not prepared to take care of you. Remember all of that. Now, Abram had the promises in verses 2 to 3. We're moving on. "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Look at the promises. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Those are the promises in verse 2. And that's four of them right there. Then the Lord continues and tells Abram in verse 3 that, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." It's interesting to note that there are a total of seven promises the Lord gave Abram in this one call. The Lord said He would make Abram a great nation. To look a bit farther, in Genesis 15, the Lord added that Abram's descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens. It was in that promise that Abram knew that the nation would be greater than any earthly kingdom. He knew that something big was about ready to be accomplished and that he was being used for that purpose. But here's the difference. Abram realized that he had to have a view to something bigger than himself. He realized that that vision, that promise that God was making was a lot bigger than he was. And when we get our call from God, and by the way, everyone in this room has a call from God. One of the reasons you're here today is because God called you out of darkness and into light, and here you are worshiping him with his people in obedience to that first part of the call. But then God has something specific he wants you to accomplish. But remember, he will ask you at that time to have a perspective that's bigger and more lasting than the end of your nose. You have to have a perspective that's God-sized. And you have to be willing to do like Abram and take that step of faith. Keep in mind that Abram didn't get any other details or promises on that call. Remember, God promised to be with him, yes. But after that, Abram didn't ask, God, you want me to go to where? Canaan. What do you want me to do when I get there? Note the silence. That's part of the dialogue. God did not feel compelled to give Abram any more details on that call than what he had already given him. All right? You may not get the next details in the next steps on this process. And it's not because we'll be so blown away, oh my, I can't do that. Although that might be one of the results if God gives us all the details ahead of time. Here's the point of why there is no subsequent dialogue from God while Abram is packing in Haran. God wanted to get Abram to learn to trust him with the only details that he has been given. Are you with me on that? Do we understand? When God calls, he'll tell you what he wants you to do. And then he might not give you the next steps. You just have to, and that goes for all of us, yours truly included. When you get a call, go with the information you're given. Take what you know and run with it as far as you can, because God will not take you where he will not keep you. You have to learn to trust him that much. So what did Abram do? Verses 4 and 5. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. The scriptures simply tell us that Abram did it. That's profoundly what we need to know from this passage. And also that he was 75 when the Lord gave him this command. There are two details here. Both of them are easy to see, and both of them are equally as important. First, the text doesn't say that Abram questioned the Lord. He didn't ask for clarification, and he didn't ask for any more details. He just did it. Yes, we've already covered that, but it bears repeating. Abram didn't go to the Lord and say, wait a minute, I need some more details on this. I'm not prepared to do this yet. I need to know if... Didn't happen. This is important for us to understand. And again, when God calls, he may not give you steps 3, 4, and 5. He might not even give you step 2. We're supposed to act on step 1. And here's the other detail. Abram, I want everybody to hear this, was 75. Yes, he was not a teenager. But this fact does not matter in the terms of the mission. Remember a few weeks back during our Revelation series when we were talking about the two witnesses. The two witnesses in Revelation 11 will be called to prophesy about the coming judgments the Lord will pour out on the planet. They will do their duty at the right time. When their job is done, the Lord will bring them home. It isn't going to happen a minute before nor a minute later than the time needed to get the job done. Here's how the two witnesses relate to our text today. God calls all of us to do something for him. He does it when the time is right. He's not focused on how young or how old we are. He calls when the time is right, and it's in His time, not ours. I'm reminded so often of the times when somebody who's about, you know, my age or a little older, you know, has somebody suggest, well, why don't you go back to school and finish that college degree? Well, and the person, say, theoretically is 60 years old. Well, I'll be 63 when I finish and graduate. Well, the logical question then is, well, how old will you be in 3 years if you don't go back to school? Everybody getting the point here? It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. God will use you to accomplish the task, and you will be given the time necessary to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish. Not a minute more, not a minute less. Your life does have a call on it. You have a divine mission on this earth. This is why no one in this sanctuary should have any worries about your life or whether your life has a purpose. Not one of us in here should be concerned, why am I here? Of course, if you're bored by this sermon, you may be asking that question right now. However, everyone in this room has the highest purpose ever given to any human being on the face of the earth. It's the divine mission the Lord has in mind for you to accomplish. And it makes no difference how old you are, period. So stop worrying or fretting about your life or whether or not you have a purpose. You do. Abram had a big one. And he was 75 when God called him to accomplish it. Remember, Moses was 80. Jeremiah was a kid. So age doesn't matter. It is an irrelevant factor that only we use as an excuse not to do what God wants us to do. Are we getting that? Okay, but Abram had a promise. We might say, well, wait a minute. Abram was promised a lot of great stuff. But now that we figured Abram's call was timely and ours will be too, we may be reacting by saying, but what's God promised me? Well, let me tell you, God has promised us an awful lot of stuff. The answer is yes, we have promises that we have been given. We've been promised eternal life from 1 John 2:25. We've been promised salvation for our children. That's from Isaiah 49:25. God can do the impossible. Jesus tells us that in Luke 18:27. We're promised the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Lord has promised to meet our needs many times over in Psalms 34, Philippians 4:19. And not only that, He promises that He has a plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He has promised to deliver us from any spiritual or emotional bondage we may have. Yes, Jesus was talking about primarily salvation in John 8:36, but He still said, if the Son shall make you free, you will be free indeed. No plan the enemy has can overcome us while we're on our way. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And Joshua 1:9 promises that the Lord will be with us wherever we go. So when you receive the call from God, don't ever try to say, God hasn't promised you anything. God has promised you His companionship, His strength, and the fact that He will take care of you and meet your needs along the way. And remember that Joshua 21:45 says, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. If God has promised you, He will fulfill it. You can count on it. The same Lord who promised to build an entire spiritual nation through Abram has also promised us a spiritual heritage and a great plan if we would just trust and obey Him. And this leads us to the amazing keys to this week's spiritual breakthrough, verses 6 through 8. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord. And that's enough to get this last part done. Yes, Abram's name was later changed to Abraham, and he indeed became the ancestor and father of many people. One man's obedience to God changed the course of the entire history of the world and was the instrument in bringing about the fulfillment of the Lord's plan for salvation. But here's how Abram's journey impacts us today. Keep in mind that the Lord's subsequent promise to Abram did not come until he had taken that first step and gone to the land of Canaan. So everybody get the chronology here. Abram acted, he obeyed on the first word, and then God spoke a second time. And that's key for all of us. Let's do what the Lord says do. Let's fulfill that call He has on our lives. Let's start immediately doing the things that God has commanded us to do, knowing that He may not give, and He will not give, the second, third, and fourth steps until we act on the first ones. That's what the Scriptures says here. Abram got spoken to by God a second time after he had taken that step of faith and gone to the land of Canaan, as he was told. Now, think about the amazing things we can do for God if we dare to obey as Abram did. Think of the great things we can do for the Lord's kingdom if we believe the promises God has already given to us in His Word. Think of the breakthroughs we will have in our lives if we live by faith as Abram did. That is the key to this breakthrough topic today. Act in faith on what God tells you to do, then we will start seeing some spiritual breakthroughs. And that will possibly be in our personal relationship with Him. Because Abram's relationship with God got deeper and deeper and deeper the more he walked with the Lord. That's the key to this. Walk with God. Take the steps He commands us to take. And then we will deepen our relationship and we'll see the breakthrough that we've been looking for. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We ask You, Lord, to show us those things from this passage that relate to us now, that are relevant for our lives at this moment. Because we're looking so deeply for answers that sometimes we look past Your answer and forget it or miss it. Lord, give us the faith to act so we can see a breakthrough. And that breakthrough for us will be in the deepening relationship with You, because that's what we all want. We all want a deeper relationship and a deeper walk with You. It's in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.